Is anyone paying attention, do you think?
No, they're not paying attention at all. But they'll come back to their seats as soon as we start yammering here.
It's not working.
Well, it will.
All right.
They're completing their purchases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're back with the second half, and we have as our guest Michael Arnowitt, who will be playing the two Messiaen pieces. And why don't you...
By the Olive of Honor.
The Olive of Honor, yes.
Olive A. Messiaen.
So tuck yourself up here a little bit further and give us a rundown of these two pieces, because they're really very different in time, they're very different in spirit, they're very different in technique, everything. Just give us that thing, something to latch on to.
Well, they're in reverse chronological order, so I'm first going to play a piece he wrote very reflective of his great interest in birdsong, which he wrote in 1985, and then I'm going to backtrack and play second, a large piece that he wrote, major piece he wrote in 1944, right during the end of World War II. And he really had this great fascination with birdsong. In fact, one of my favorite quotations is that Messiaen said that among the artistic hierarchy, birds are probably the greatest musicians to inhabit our planet. And he would like to go out into the woods and write down as best he could the sound of birds. And there's a wonderful little...
Well, it's not just liking to go out in the woods. This guy was absolutely compulsive about his transcription of bird songs. He was amazingly dedicated to that.
Yeah, Bartok went out and transcribed folk songs and
Messiaen wrote bird songs. Yes.
Bird songs, even more so. And there's a nice little story about the French pianist Yvonne Loriot. Was going to premiere a piece of Messiaen's for piano and orchestra, and she relates that she did the dutiful thing of going over to the composer before the premiere and playing through the piano part. And she thought she was actually pretty darn pleased with herself after she played through it. Usually us pianists actually are kind of cringing over all the mistakes we made in the face of the very creator of it, but, you know, she was really pretty happy with it, but Messiaen kind of gave her a lukewarm, you know, reply and said, well, you got the notes right, but the character of the bird song, yeah, you don't have it yet. You know, what you really need to do is you need to go out into the countryside and listen to some birds. That unless you do that, you'll never really get it. You never really get my music. And Yvonne Loriot reports that she called up her mom after that little encounter and Mom said, oh, how'd it go with this guy Messiaen? She said, oh, yeah, you know, he's a pretty nice guy all around, but he's kind of a pain. by the way, can you give me a ride out to the countryside out of Paris? He says I need to be there at 6 in the morning. but also, well, that ends well because they ended up getting married. So that might maybe that was their first date.
Well, and she got the pieces, because for the rest of his life, she played his music, and it's actually spectacularly intriguing performances when you hear them. You mm-hmm. see that intimacy, that understanding in the way she plays his work.
Yeah, definitely. So this piece is called it loosely translated would mean the robin, mm-hmm. and the robin is a member of the thrush family, and any of you who... I hope all of you who live here in Vermont have taken the occasion to go out and listen to the wonderful songs of the thrushes we have in Vermont, and I think you might hear them
in this music. We have four thrushes in Vermont, right? We have the hermit thrush, the wood thrush, the robin, and the veery.
And I think you've written some music about the wood thrush, and maybe
thrush,
others,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
The veery, I think, yes.
So. I don't suppose he wrote any piece about vultures tearing apart carrion.
Or olives.
Yeah. Just a thought.
Well, you could suggest that to him, but
post-mortem.
Yeah. Well, he has this wonderful collection of pieces called the Catalogue d'Oiseau, which is a mere 9 volumes of music. Maybe it's in there somewhere.
Ah.
Yes, the bird catalog is massive, and he has a wonderful Oiseau Exotique, the exotic birds, an amazing, colorful piece, very different from his other bird pieces as well.
So I have studied. I did like Yvonne Loriot did, and I have gone out and tried to listen to a lot of birds this year, and hopefully I'll understand how they phrase things. Then the second piece I'm going to play is from a large cycle of pieces he wrote, 20 in all, called The Vingt Regards sur l'Enfant Jésus, or 20 contemplations or views on the child Jesus. And it's a major piece. It takes about, 2.5 hours to play
the whole thing.
I think one somebody
piece,
did.
One piece tonight, one of the six.
Oh,
number
yeah,
six, not all of them.
Yep, this one.
But it's a pretty big one, and it's about the creation of the universe. There have been several religious pieces about the creation of Earth, but this is actually about the whole nine yards.
And that's you will be, nine yards is about the truth if you're talking about concrete, because this is a massive piece. Just watch Michael as he plays this piece, as well as listen. There are two events taking place simultaneously, the visual and the auditory. It's an incredible, big, massive piece of music, and so different from the Robin piece before.
Yeah, but I think I can tell it was written by the same composer.
Yeah,
the language is similar, although the canvas is so enormous in this piece. He's influenced by the spiral, the shapes of spirals and the galaxies that astronomers were, making known to everybody through photography. He was interested in stalactites, he said. all sorts of things. Of course, birds come in. He couldn't resist throwing
Absolutely
in a few joyful squawks near the climax at the end. And also bells. The sound of bells is very important to Messiaen. Of course, he was I believe he was the organist at the Cathedral of Notre Dame.
Yes, he was.
And
a fantastic organist. We'll talk about that. When you're finished, we'll talk a little bit about that.
So you can fill with that. But yeah, definitely when I was in college, I tried to learn how to play the carillon. There's a little guild you go into. You get to go into the tower like Quasimodo.
Is it the foot version or the keyboard version?
Oh, the foot version. It's not really compatible with piano playing, but it was the sort of thing you do in college, I guess. Anyway.
Some people do that. It doesn't remind me of mine.
Things that aren't compatible with the rest of your life is what I was trying to say. Anyway, this beautiful sort of slightly out of tuneness of these large cathedral bells, and he really evokes that on the piano, I think beautifully. So that comes in probably several points, but definitely in the climax at the end again, too. So, but it's a large, like I say, it's about the Big Bang, it's the explosion, the expansions, contractions, the shapes are very tangible, and I think it's making me want to play the piece.
Let's see if you can get through the quiet Robin. And then
so the very quiet Robin and then the very not quiet creation.
There'll be just a brief pause between the two, so just let it go right from the Robin into the number six from the Par lui tout a été fait. Michael Arnolet.
Lucien gets a lot of respect, but not always a lot of love. And when you hear this piece, at least I don't understand why not. The guy was probably a little bit of an outlier in the whole period of a sort of modernist music. He was not only a lover of birdsong and one who transcribed it and worked very hard at sort of that obsession. He was also a dedicated Catholic, and it sort of put him sort of at odds with the notion of sort of the objectivist modernist era of the middle of the 20th century. Now, if you think that organ music ended with Bach, or at least interesting organ music ended with Bach, you have to listen to some Messiaen. My introduction, in fact, to Messiaen was a piece that I heard the great Riverside Church organist
Fox.
Thank you, Virgil Fox. Play a piece called Dieu parmi nous from La Nativité du Seigneur. This thing was just massive. It was so huge that sort of my mental state was one of imagining this whole organ actually blasting itself right off the wall. Just huge, massive piece. And then equally delicate sections as you heard in La Rouge Gorge here, the Robin. So, you wonder how Messiaen could write these delicate little pieces. Then a piece like Tarongalila, this massive symphony that threw in the kitchen sink. I mean, everything he had, the percussion, the piano, and the Onde Martineau, which is an electronic instrument with a kind of ribbon controller on it, with these wonderful swoops and lovely sounds that he was able to come. And this huge orchestra, huge orchestral piece. So he had the guy, he could do it all. And so I think there's another aspect that you sort of the respect but not love, and that was his role as a theoretician, because not only did he study Eastern music, he also had some things that interested him. One was non-retrogradable rhythms, that is, a rhythmic palindrome. You can play the rhythmic rhythm forward and backward, and it will be the same. He also studied and wrote about modes of limited transposition, which are musical scales, but they're musical scales that, unlike a C major scale, when you move it to another place, it doesn't lose its sequence of notes. It's kind of almost a scale like palindrome as well. These are the kinds of things that interested him, which is why when you hear music like music that Michael just played of his, it is different from what you expect from both modernism and before and after. It doesn't seem to have those characters. And then we move to the music of Chan Kanin next on the program. Before we leave that, you were influenced by Messiaen as well.
I was.
You did. You wrote a piece called And Dims the Welkin, which had giant chords, very much, and I don't know if that was unconscious on your part or deliberate, but it was just really with that cascading sound and the accelerating cascades, the bum, 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 of these huge chords.
I'm sure it was purely coincidental.
Yeah, purely. All right, I'll take it. But it was a very good piece, probably because of that influence.
I see.
Anyway, Chan Kanin. Now, this is going to change completely. This is a piece that is incredibly coloristic. We had an opportunity to hear it last night. We knew it sort of from the score, but not in real life. And hearing this piece, which is, based on the Joyce Kilmer poem, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree, which we, kind of don't give a lot of respect to. But Chan Kanin was is a respect word again. I have a sort of personal kind of chuckle over that, because 30-some years ago I came here to Vermont from New Jersey, and Joyce Kilmer was from there. And I can't hear that poem without imagining it in the kind of accent that I used to have.
Please, entertain us.
I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, it works.
So, yeah. Anyway, but Chan Kanin takes this very seriously. It is not ironic. It is not a kind of a humorous subtext at all. And he explores the the sounds that you might imagine, forest sounds and bird sounds. Again, bird sounds, and you'll hear them in here. And the shape of the piece and its motion from tension through serene sections, and then this kind of almost terribly troubled section where the tree is cut, you know, and you listen to the end, and this is one thing that there's a little alteration that this group will do, and that Chunkin has actually specified at the end a musical saw to be played. Double entendre there with the musical saw and the cutting of the tree, but it's played here by Bonnie Thurber Klimowski on the cello. And if you imagine you'll know when you get there at the end of the piece, this beautiful sound of the musical saw emulated on the cello. So here's this broad coloristic piece, incredibly difficult, and different from the piece that you've just heard by Messiaen. Guys are about ready over there, huh? Yeah, okay. This is a fantastic piece. Steve Klimowski on clarinet, Bonnie Thurber Klimowski on the cello.
And chainsaw.
And chainsaw, yes. And chainsaw.
Whip it on us.
Yes. And who am I leaving out here?
Paula.
Paula Ennis on the piano. Okay, are we ready? We're ready. Great, fantastic. Here it is. Music by Chan Kanden.
Thank you.
Oh, bring him back, bring him back. Bonnie Krumowski. Dean Krumowski. Paula Edison. Here they are, Vermont Contemporary Music Ensemble. Incredible. You can pigeonhole the performers, and you can beat up on the composers that are here afterwards. Please take another look at the CDs and the books in the back, and we'll see you at their next concerts. Two more this season. We'll be hosting them all for you here on Kelvis and Damien in the house on the Non-Pop International Network.
Jolly good.